the Delaware Harness Racing Commission. Are you ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well.
May it please the court, Ronald Poliquin on behalf of the appellant, Donald Harmon, against the Delaware Harness Racing Commission. We are asking the court to restore the jury's verdict in favor of Mr. Harmon and reversing the Superior Court's decision granting the state's motion for judgment as a matter of law and motion for a retrial. We are also requesting this court reverse the trial court's decision pertaining to the summary granting summary judgment on the plaintiff's breach of good faith and fair dealing claim. In its decision, the trial court relies on Title III, Section 1006 of the Delaware Code requiring a quorum of Delaware Harness Racing Commission to conduct business as the main basis for its decision. We assert that the commission's requirement regarding a recorded vote should not and were not intended to be a shield from liability for actions taken by the commission without a recorded vote. The record is clear in this case that the commission took actions continuously on other matters without a recorded vote.
Is it correct that the critical issue here is whether, I can't recall his name, Mr. Wayne?
Yes, John Wayne, the administrator of racing.
Had authority of some kind to communicate to the plaintiff that, you know, whatever it was that the plaintiff was relying on.
Yes, Your Honor.
And is it also clear, at least from this record, that there was no actual authority?
No, Your Honor. I think the record is replete with references that Mr. Wayne testified that he had authority.
Well, let me refine the question. Actual authority as opposed to apparent authority.
I would disagree, Your Honor, because I think Mr. Wayne testifies, and one of the, if you look at the record, several references where he makes reference to being authorized by the commission to make this promise, and is that where he talks about during an executive session, he asked the commission members, am I authorized to tell Don Harmon he would get his position be reinstated if he was acquitted of these criminal charges? After the commission looks at each other, their response is, yes, he was authorized.
Okay, I just want to make sure where precisely you are and we are legally. I mean, there are actually three kinds of authority. One is express authority, you know, where the principal expressly gives the agent authority to do whatever act is in dispute. Second kind of authority is implied authority, where there may not be an express authorization, but it's implied in fact from the circumstances. And then there's apparent authority, which is no authority at all, but where authority is imputed to the agent because the principal holds out the agent as having the authority with the effect that it misleads some third party. Which of the three are you relying on?
I think, Your Honor, I think there's a justification for all three are met here, Your Honor. As for one, we feel that there was express authority and actual authority. But we also feel that there was, that there was apparent authority, So we feel that there's enough facts in this case that are presented from the record that it's replete with representations by Mr. Wayne that, one, he had actual authority, and if the court here does not believe that he had actual authority simply because there wasn't a recorded vote, where we do believe he has apparent authority. Mr. Wayne was the chief administrator of racing. The record was replete that he dealt with Mr. Harmon on personnel matters.
Is it clear that Mr. Harmon was aware that the commission required a majority vote?
I don't think it's clear, Your Honor, but it's not in the record. That wasn't the specific question asked, but that issue was actually that same kind of argument was rejected in the Keating School Board versus School Board Aquaminic case before the Chancery Court. In that case, which I think is probably the most applicable to this case, you had a school principal which essentially makes a promise to a teacher saying, you're going to have your contract renewed. That teacher, in reliance on that promise, goes out and buys a car, thinking that, she delays seeking outside employment. The court in that case decided that even though that teacher knew that the school board had the ultimate authority, that it was reasonable for that teacher to rely on that authority. In this case,
do you agree that if there was knowledge of a majority vote requirement, that there could not be a parent authority?
No, I do not, Your Honor.
Okay. And why not?
Because I think in this case, although there's no, in this case, that there's enough evidence to provide that Mr. Wayne was authorized by the commission to make representations to Mr. Harmon. That's not in doubt here. And Mr. Wayne testified that he was authorized by the commission to make this representation to Mr. Harmon. That he directly asked the commission, am I allowed to make this representation to Mr. Harmon? The fact that it wasn't formalized in some type of vote, I don't think should be a death knell to Mr. Harmon's claim. I think if you look at John Wayne dealt with Mr. Harmon on personnel matters. And in fact, the commission had authorized him to communicate with Mr. Harmon throughout this entire process. He was the highest ranking official of the Delaware Harness Racing Commission. He oversaw its day-to-day operations. He was authorized to make representations on the commission's behalf. Therefore, it's completely reasonable, and reasonableness of reliance on...
And when you say that, is that as a matter of law or basically a factual inference?
No, this is things that were testified by John Wayne as far as was he authorized by the commission to make these representations to Mr. Harmon. As far as, you know, I don't think definitely needs to be a formalized vote for that actual authority to occur. And there certainly is enough of a record here that's replete with references that he was given permission to make these representations to Mr. Harmon. Certainly, I think as a matter of law, he was authorized to make representations on behalf of the Harness Racing Commission. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, you seem to, I mean, I understand if what you're really saying is that he was authorized to make representations to Mr. Harmon, but you also seem to speak more globally about his authority, that he had authority to make representations to everybody else in the world or just to Mr. Harmon.
Well, I think on behalf of the commission, he was authorized to make representations.
To the universe. I mean, you know.
Well, if there was, it was reasonable and reasonable as far as reasonable reliance on those representations.
No. Tell me, you're talking about the scope of his authority. If all you're arguing is that his authority was to make this communication to Mr. Harmon, I understand that. But if you're making some argument that he had a much broader authority to make representations generally on behalf of the Racing Commission, I'd like to see the evidence of that.
I think he had authority to make representations regarding personnel matters and regarding his duties and responsibilities since he was the chief administrating officer. I don't think there's any doubt that he was consistently made representations.
But he did that after specific authorization in each occasion by the commission, isn't that right?
I don't think that's necessarily correct on the record.
You don't think it's necessarily correct? I thought that's what the record showed.
No, Your Honor. He obviously, when you have a commission, they're only meeting once a month.
We are told by the other side, and it's documented in the other side's brief, that Mr. Wayne had minimal oversight responsibilities for employee matters, and when he did have authority to communicate with an employee about an employee issue or an employment issue, it was pursuant to specific authority documented in the minutes by the commission. Now, is that correct or not?
I think it's correct on some matters, but not correct globally. I certainly think he made representations on the commission and made decisions on behalf of the commission without their authorization, and either the commission allowed him to do so or he was generally allowed to do so.
This is what we're told in the other side's brief, and it's documented to the record. I didn't see any response in your reply brief to that factually.
Well, Your Honor, I'll point to the record that as far as his duties and obligations as the chief operating officer, that he ran the day-to-day operations, he oversaw the workings His duties included obviously maintaining payroll collection of funds, drug testing, managing investigations.
Yeah, oh, and that may be, that's very nice, but that doesn't answer my question. You're talking about a more global scope of authority to make representations, even if those representations weren't specifically authorized by a at a meeting of the Harness Racing Commission and documented in the minutes.
Well, I think he did make authorizations outside of the, obviously outside of the minutes.
All right, I'm just asking if that's your position, where in the record is it documented?
It's one that he was authorized to make representations on behalf of the commission, that he did deal with personnel matters. And I think one of the,
where in the record is documented, not your argument.
I understand. I don't know if there's anything on the record specific that says he's allowed to make authorizations on the commission's behalf without their authorization. I don't know.
So why are you arguing that then, if you don't have any support for it in the record?
Because, Your Honor, I think apparent authority can be still is maintained here. I think it was the. If you go back to the Keating case and you go to even the Pisano case, whether it was reasonable for Harmon to rely on Mr. Wayne's representations is a decision made up to the jury. Obviously, the jury did feel it was reasonable for him to rely on Mr. Wayne's representations. I guess the point what I would make is that regardless of whether or not there was a specific vote that authorized him to make this representation or not, that it was reasonable for Mr. Harmon to rely on his representations. And all the other...
Okay, so you're not really arguing that there was actual authority in some global sense to make representations on behalf of the commission, including those that weren't specifically authorized by a vote of the commission. What you're arguing is, to the extent you're talking about representations that weren't specifically authorized, he had apparent authority to make those.
Well, I would argue yes, but I also think he had actual authority here,
yes,
to make the representation.
Told us there's no support in the record for that.
No, I think there's support of the record that he got authority from the commission to make this representation to Mr. Harmon. I'd be happy to point out those specifics in the record. I'm sorry if I misunderstood, Your Honor.
And how did he get that?
Well, if you look at the record, he in several references during a meeting, at an executive meeting, he said if Don Harmon is acquitted of all charges, does he get his job back? The commission responded to him, yes. He also testifies that the commission had already authorized him to tell Mr. Harmon that he was allowed to make his representation to Mr. Harmon. And he actually asked the commission, what can I tell Mr. Harmon? And they replied back, if he was acquitted of the criminal charges, he would get his job back.
Who's the they? I mean, what was the context? Was he sitting there in a room with the commissioners?
Yes, in this reference he was. In A69, A70 of the record, he talks about being at an executive session and where they discuss personnel matters and where he actually specified that. But he also makes other references to specific times when he had asked the commission whether he was authorized to make the promise, and he states that he was authorized to make the promise several times, and that he consistently told Mr. Harmon he would get his job back based on those representations that were made to him by the commission. So he goes, Mr. And obviously the jury, if there is some conflict in the record as to what was authorized or what was not authorized, the jury, as the fact finder, believed that the commission authorized Mr. Wayne to make these representations to Don Harmon. But even if you look at the external evidence supporting that fact that he...
And that's even though it's undisputed there was no vote of any kind.
Well, there's nothing in the record saying there was no vote.
Is there anything in the record saying there was a vote?
No. There, other than the fact that he asked the commission, I guess it could be, if you're in executive session and you ask the commission, am I authorized to make Mr. Harmon, what can I tell Mr. Harmon? The commission responds yes. I think that could be considered a vote, even if it's not formalized in a record.
Well, where does that lead? Where do we go with that? If there's no vote, one way or another, all kinds of things can be attributed to governing bodies, can't they?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think you have to look at, one, if you have the Administrator Racin testifying, yes, I was authorized to make this by the commission. You got to have some evidence. You have to have testimony like that. And you also look at the external evidence supporting that fact. And I think there's extensively on the record, there's evidence supporting the fact of that promise of reinstatement. Harmon was not fired but suspended with pay. They didn't terminate him immediately. And they're waiting to see what the resolution of those criminal charges were prior to deciding whether or not to reinstate him or not. The only logical conclusion to come out of that is that they're waiting to see if he was now not guilty, he'd be reinstated. If he was found guilty, he would not be reinstated. That's consistent with the undisputed testimony of Mr. Wayne saying, I made this promise. I was authorized to make this promise to Don Harmon.
Well, let's examine the undisputed testimony of Mr. Wayne. We are told that when Mr. Wayne actually told Mr. Harmon was that he would probably get his job back or will consider him for the job. He was considered for the job.
Your Honor,
He was considered for the job. And the qualifier probably is something quite short of a definite promise, isn't it?
Your Honor, I think that's the appellee's cherry-picking the record, but I think there's also enough definitive evidence in the record.
Well, tell me where it is and give me the exact quote from the record that supports your argument that there was a definite promise.
A69 to A70, during a meeting, executive meeting, at a meeting, I said, if Don Harmon has quitted all charges, does he get his job back? I remember the board looking at each other, at the board, yes.
No. I'm talking about what Mr. Wayne said to Mr. Harmon. What did he actually say?
He promised at A71, if he was acquitted of all criminal charges, that he would get his job back. This is John Wayne's testifying. What can I tell Mr. Harmon?
No, not what can he tell him. What did he tell him?
A98A, Wayne consistently told Harmon he would get his job back if he was acquitted of the criminal charges.
And that was inconsistent with his deposition testimony, which was much more equivocal, correct?
Well, I think I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think there's some discrepancy in some testimony here, but I think the overwhelming testimony, which the jury believed, was that John Wayne was authorized to make this promise, and that, in fact, he did make this promise to Don Harmon, that if he was acquitted of the criminal charges, then he would receive his position back.
Mr. Poliquin, you're down to about 2 minutes of the time you reserved. Would you like to retain that?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Laura Gerard, Deputy Attorney General, on behalf of Delaware Harness Racing Commission. The issues in this matter are purely legal issues. And as I believe Justice Jacobs has referred to before concerning the issue of the authority of Mr. Wayne as the administrator of racing, as a matter of law, he had no authority to make a promise on the commission's behalf. And as such, it was not sufficient to be binding on the commission.
Now we're told that, there was evidence from which a jury could find that he was given actual authority to make a representation to Mr. Harmon, and the jury so found. What are we to do with that evidence?
Your Honor, first, there is no actual authority. There was no vote by the commission specifically authorizing
Mr. Can you speak into the mic? I'm having trouble hearing you.
I apologize, Your Honor. Bear with me. It's my first time. There was no actual authority presented by the commission directing Mr. Wayne as the administrator of racing to
Why
make
not?
That promise.
We're told that in a meeting with the commissioners, Mr. Wayne specifically asked, what can I tell Mr. Harmon? And the commissioner said, you can tell him he can have his job back if he's acquitted the criminal charges.
Mr. Wayne's testimony is ambiguous and vague, because if you look at the record itself, his testimony indicates, and I refer to Appendix A70 and also B9, where Mr. Wayne testified, well, at the commission meetings or after the commission meetings or during executive session, not really sure of that. So it's not really clear even in Mr. Wayne's own mind when this purported discussion with the commission occurred.
Well, don't these factual issues have to be resolved in favor of the plaintiff at this point with the jury verdict?
I would submit not, Your Honor, because what happened here is that this is a matter of law as to whether he had the authority, and that's an issue of law, and therefore that's something that should have not been presented
right,
to go to the jury.
Right, but in determining that issue of law, we have to assume the facts as the jury found them and then decide whether those facts are sufficient to go to the jury at all.
Again, Your Honor, it is the state's position, the commission's position, that these are solely issues of law, that absent any type of vote as prescribed by the commission, which is the only type of authority that Mr. Wayne had as afforded to him by statute, that we don't even get to the question of whether there was a valid promise and if that was sufficiently supported by the record.
So your position is it's undisputed that there was no vote?
Correct. There was no actual authority by the commission giving Mr. Wayne that authority to make that representation to Mr. Harmon.
What do you mean by a vote? Let's assume hypothetically the commission is all sitting in front of Mr. Wayne. He said, can I tell Mr. Harmon that he gets his job back if he's acquitted? The commissioners look to each other and they all acquiesce, nod their head, and say yes. No one has ever said all in favor say aye, all opposed say no, but the fact is, in my hypothetical, the answer is yes. Isn't that basically our record?
No, Your Honor, I would submit that that is not, in fact, the record that is before this court and that was before the Superior Court. The testimony itself from Mr. Wayne varied.
I understand that, but, you know, one of the things we have at jury trials is an instruction that said, to the extent there are inconsistencies in the testimony, it's your duty to reconcile the testimony if possible. You assess the credibility. And I understand that at one time during the trial, he was more direct, that he was impeached, in quotes, with his deposition testimony where he was a little more equivocal. But as Justice Ridgely said, we have to look at the facts in the light most favorable to him. And to the extent the effort at impeachment or pointing out ambiguities or inconsistencies was reconciled against the state by the jury, given our standard of review, we have to deal with that, don't we?
Your Honor, you do. This court does. But again, I guess the state's position, and perhaps I'm not fully understanding your hypothetical, but we perceive this to be an issue of law that should have been determined by the Superior Court.
I understand. And you just have to bear with me to the extent I think there may be some facts permeating the issue and it's not clearly a matter of law. Perhaps I don't understand your argument. Your matter of law argument seems to be unless someone says all in favor say aye and there's a vote on the record, then as a matter of law the commission didn't act. Is that your position?
Not exactly, Your Honor. If I may try to make my argument a little bit more clear. The duties of the administrator of racing are as prescribed by the commission. But more importantly, the commission is authorized by statute to appoint these racing officials, including that of the presiding judge. And Mr. Wayne submitted an affidavit to the Superior Court. He was a named party in this case, and he was eventually dismissed by Mr. Harmon early on in the litigation. And Mr. Wayne represented in that affidavit, and it's covered at pages B15 and 16 of the appendix, that he had no authority to hire or fire employees of the Racing Commission, and that included the position of presiding judge.
I understand that. But you have to accept that in the record, he said at an executive session, the commission authorized me to tell him if he was acquitted, he'd get his job back.
I respectfully, Your Honor, I disagree. I don't think that's what the record does, in fact, state. I think he states that, well, it could have been at a commission meeting or it could have been after a commission meeting or maybe it was during executive session. He's not really clear.
And but when it happened is one issue. If it happened is another. What's confusing to me is I understand you think the commission has to say, Mr. Wayne, you can do this. And I agree. But let's suppose the commission, unrelated to this, said, Mr. Wayne, do this. And he goes out and he says to you, this is the commission's position, I'm telling you this. Do you think everyone that ever talked to Mr. Wayne then said, show me the vote? Or were they under the impression that he wouldn't have said the commission said do this unless they had voted or otherwise authorized him to do this? What's confusing to me is the suggestion that in the absence of Mr. Harmon saying, did they vote, Mr. Harmon shouldn't have believed Mr. Wayne.
Well, Your Honor, if I may, Mr. Harmon and the administrator of Racing were insiders. They regularly attended commission meetings. They knew the commission's obligations. They knew the commission's process when it came to the appointment of racing officials. And they knew...
Well, we understand that part of the record. And so my question is, understanding that, why wasn't it reasonable when Mr. Wayne, knowing everything you just told me, if Mr. Wayne walks out of the meeting and says to Mr. Harmon, hypothetically, if you're acquitted, you get your job back, why shouldn't Mr. Harmon have assumed that happened?
Because Mr. Harmon knew he had to come before the commission to request for the status of his suspension. He knew that the commission determined the terms of his suspension and his appointment. He served at the pleasure of the commission. He requested to appear before the commission regarding the terms of his suspension. When he wanted to be reinstated, he requested to appear before the commission again at one of its meetings. So Mr. Harmon, and I think considering that he is the second highest racing official here, was familiar with the process and the commission, I don't think he could be equated to just any person such as myself coming in and talking with Mr. Wayne from the Harness Racing Commission. Mr. Harmon was an insider, and he knew the process, and he took...
Well, what shows that that process required a vote, that he had knowledge that a vote was required? Is that in the record?
Yes, Your Honor. We submit that that is at the Commission's Exhibit 12, which were the executive session minutes, and that documents when Mr. Harmon did, in fact, appear before the Commission. The Commission listened to his attorney, and then they deliberated, and they took a vote, and that's documented in those meeting minutes.
I gather your position then is that when, you know, hypothetically, Mr. Harmon was told whatever he was told by Mr. Wayne, he should have said, wait a minute, let me see the minutes. Let me see if the minutes show a vote. And if he did, then by not doing that, whatever reliance he placed on the word of Mr. Wayne was unreasonable. Is that your position?
Yes, Your Honor, part of it.
Is it also correct, is it accurate to say that, you know, this entire issue of authority and reliance should not have gone to the jury in the first place?
That is correct, Your Honor. This is an issue.
And therefore, we would have to conclude that the trial judge erred at the beginning by letting this case go to the jury.
To the extent that the Rule 50 motion was not fully granted, Your Honor, yes.
Should have granted judgment at the end of the plaintiff's case.
That is correct. That motion was timely and properly made. And that should have been
granted. One last question. I'm confused by the procedural posture of the case. We have a post-trial judgment for the defendant as a matter of law, but it's coupled with a determination, or I guess the grant of a motion for a new trial. Is the new trial grant basically academic if we uphold the grant of judgment as a matter of law?
It's my understanding, Your Honor, that as part of considering the Commission's Rule 50 motion for judgment...
Well, I'm asking, suppose we affirm the judgment as a matter of law for the defendant. Is the case over, or does it still have to go to trial on some other issue?
I believe at that point, Your Honor, if you do uphold the Superior Court's... I apologize, Your Honor. I believe if you do uphold, if this Court does uphold the judgment as a matter of law, then the motion for a new trial... will go away.
It's moot.
Becomes moot, yes, Your Honor.
Is it true that generally Mr. Wayne was the spokesman for the commission? Assuming they voted, I know that you're very interested in the commission voting, but let's assume the commission voted and wanted something done. Wouldn't Mr. Wayne normally be the spokesman for the commission and getting it done?
It would depend on what it is, Your Honor. I would submit when it came to issues of hiring and firing, again, I think that would come before it. That's solely in the purview of the commission, and that does not fall under the job responsibilities of the administrator of racing. And even Mr. Wayne acknowledged that in his affidavit.
So you're telling me if the commission voted and said, I want you, we've decided to fire X, and we want you, Mr. Wayne, to go tell X they're fired, we just voted to fire them, that would never happen?
What I'm saying, well, I think as what happened here is that the commission would direct Mr. Wayne to prepare a letter on behalf of the commission stating this is what the commission voted and decided, and these are the terms of your termination or appointment.
All right. I'm trying to ask a simple question, but I'm having difficulty. All I'd like to know is that generally, as a general proposition, did Mr. Wayne go out and about and say, here's what the commission decided, here's what they want to do? Was he the vehicle for communicating generally on behalf of the commission, or did the commission communicate generally in some other way?
From what I understand, Your Honor, of his responsibilities as set forth in the statute and as prescribed, I believe he testified in the record that he was responsible for administering the day-to-day operations when it came to the ministerial tasks of the commission.
So just one more question. Then if someone's interacting with Mr. Wayne, they know what his responsibilities are, so to speak. I'm calling him the spokesman for the commission. Is it realistic to think that everybody he spoke to would have said to him, did the commission vote? How do I know you can do this? Or did they assume if he was saying it, he was saying it on behalf of the commission?
I think that would be very fact-specific, Your Honor, and I think it would depend on the circumstances. I'm sorry, I can't provide a specific...
So then that would be something for a jury to decide. Juries decide facts.
It could be. It could be, Your Honor. But again, as we maintain here with this issue, that there was no direction from the commission regarding the status and any change in the status of Mr. Harmon's suspension. And when it comes to appointments and firings, again, that solely comes to the purview of the commission. And Mr. Wayne acknowledged that in his affidavit.
This Mr. Gerard.
Yes,
Mr. Gerard, one
yes,
of
sir.
The issues, the critical issues in the case is what Mr. Wayne actually said to Mr. Harmon, whether authorized or not. In your brief on page 20, you represent that what Mr. Wayne told Mr. Harmon was that he would probably get his job back or will consider him for the job. That's in quotes. Is that what the record shows, or is there other evidence, and in particular inconsistent other evidence as to what Mr. Wayne said?
Yes, Your Honor, there is other consistent inconsistent evidence in the record. Specifically at pages B9 of the appendix, or A70, where he represents that it could have been at commission meetings or after commission meetings or during executive session. There's also reference on appendix B19 where Mr. Wayne had discussion about possible reinstatement with only two of the commissioners.
I'm having trouble hearing you. What in addition to what you put in your brief, what else did he say?
Yes,
or
Your Honor.
Did he testify that he said?
Yes, Your Honor. The record at B9 or A70 references Mr. Wayne testifying at either commission meetings or after commission meetings or during executive session. I'm not really sure of that, but remembered asking if Mr. Harmon is acquitted of all charges, does he get his job back?
Okay, but the question is not what happened in the meeting with the commissioner. It's what happened when there was a face-to-face encounter between Mr. Wayne and Mr. Harmon. That's all I'm interested in.
That's the only reference I can provide to this court.
What is that?
Is that cited in our brief?
On page 20 of your brief?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so you're saying that as far as what was actually communicated by Mr. Wayne to Mr. Harmon. It was that Mr. Harmon would probably get his job back or will consider him for the job.
That's what we believe, yes, Your Honor.
And that's all the record shows, at least as far as your side is aware?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is this case different from general authority or Wayne in the sense that Mr. Harmon had been attending meetings over a period of time before the incidents leading to this?
We believe that that is a factual distinction from the Keating case. As I'm sure Justice Jacobs is well aware of that case, Ms. Keating, and that was a straightforward employment contract matter, which is not what we have here. She, at the time, did not know that the board, that her rehire was subject to the board approval. She later, I think the facts indicate, she later learned that the board had some approval authority to it. But at the initial time that she was hired, I believe the case law talks about where she did not know and she was not aware, unlike the facts here with Mr. Harmon.
So what is the rule of law that disposes of this case as a matter of law against Mr. Harmon?
We believe the rule of law is that estoppel should not apply when it comes to a government agency concerning its core regulatory function, where the public interest or public safety is at stake, that estoppel should not apply. This is not a straightforward employment contract case. This gentleman served at the pleasure of the commission. He was appointed there, and he served at the pleasure for a very reason, because the commission needed to fulfill and meet its statutory obligation of regulating gambling activity with respect to harness racing in the public interest, and that's specific in the statute. Further, the statute requires the commission to uphold the honesty and integrity of harness racing with respect to the appointment of its racing officials. So we believe that there is a line or a theory of cases going from the Conway versus Wolf Liquor Company case and Kalesha, and also the Heckler case that we cited in the answering brief, that speak to these regulatory functions where public interest and public safety are paramount, as opposed to another line of cases where are straightforward employment cases, and that's where the Keating case and the Crisco case would fall under. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you.
But you mentioned A70, and I don't. I'm looking at testimony that carries over to A71, and what we see here. This is Mr. Wayne. It seems to relate to Justice Jacobs' question, and what it says is, "But I had assured Mr. Harmon. I said that that's what the commission had told me, so that's the information that I passed on to him, and I had asked the commissioners. I said, what can I tell Mr. Harmon? And that was what they said, that if he was acquitted of all criminal charges, that he would get his job back. So this appears to be a statement by Mr. Wayne as to what he told Mr. Harmon. Is that correct?
Your Honor, I see that my time.
That's fine. We can extend it with questions.
Thank you, Your Honor. That may be so then perhaps I stand correct, and I did not recall that portion of the record at that time. That could be a statement that he made. But again, we believe that his testimony is not consistent in terms of the authority that he received from the commission and as to what he represented to Mr. Harmon.
Okay, well, help me understand that. He said, the commission told me I could say this, and I did, and I told that to Mr. Harmon. Now, that's what he just said. I just read it to you. I understand that he was cross-examined about his deposition testimony, which was a little more ambiguous, but this is what he said at the trial. Now, if the jury believed that the commission told him he could say that, and he did, how does that factor into our standard of review on appeal?
Because, again, Your Honor, these are issues of law, and that we don't even get to the jury question in terms of the factual evidence when it is very clear that he had no authority to do what he did.
Well, that's what I just read you is, what can I tell Mr. Harmon? And that's what they said. So he's attributing this to the commission. He's saying the commission told me I could tell this to Mr. Harmon. That was his sworn testimony at trial.
Your Honor, again, there's no evidence of that in any of the letters that the commission authorized Mr. Wayne to send to Mr. Harmon or Mr. Harmon's attorney. There was no evidence of that in any of the meeting minutes.
Okay.
That would support that.
Just so I help me understand it, your position is this your position that no matter what Wayne says, the fact that there was no vote ends the matter as a matter of law. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, that there is no authority whatsoever that the commission directed him, and there's no record of it that the commission directed him to do what he did. There has to be some line drawn in the sand, if you will, that state employees in positions such as the administrator of racing cannot simply do whatever they believe is appropriate or whatever they believe they see fit or however they interpret what someone may be telling them. What we are saying...
And then my follow-up question is, what is legally the minimum necessary for there to be a vote?
With respect to the commission, Your Honor, I believe, again, this would have to be something discussed at the meeting, and a quorum of the commission, which is three members, providing that authority, and then some evidence of that in the meeting minutes.
Well, do they have to say aye, all in favor? Does there have to be a motion? What does there have to be as a legal minimum for a vote?
I believe there would have to be some type of motion directing, as the commission had done consistently when it came to the suspension of Mr. Harmon, that they made some type of vote directing Mr. Wayne to do certain things with respect to Mr. Harmon's suspension.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I just wanted to point out what I think was an issue that was addressed during my original argument, that there's in A65, there's a question, well, to Mr. Wayne, well, were you authorized to make representations? Would the commission ask you to make representations to employees or issue or carry out decisions? Mr. Wayne answers yes. So as to whether, I think that goes somewhat to Mr. Wayne's global decision-making, global duties of what he did. He did carry out decisions regarding employment issues regarding that were by the commission. I would just like to, I think opposing counsel is incorrect as far as the Keating case. In the Keating, it states that Ms. Keating acknowledged she was aware that the board made ultimate hiring decisions, but she relied on the principals, Ms. Woodrow's representations that she would be rehired and transferred. I think in that case, the Chancery Court said, even though she was aware that the board had ultimate hiring decisions, they still felt it was reasonable for her to rely on that.
Yes, because the whole history was that the board's authority or ultimate authority was always exercised in favor of accepting the recommendation of the principal.
Well, in this case,
so it was basically pro forma that case.
I think in this case there is a pro forma issue as far as the submission of a slate of judges. Here, Wayne would submit a slate of judges for the commission's approval, and the commission had never denied a slate of judges submitted by Wayne. So to a certain extent, Wayne was the one submitting these judges, and the commission had never before had denied those. So,
well, they ever had a presiding judge that had been indicted and tried on criminal charges?
I understand that, Your Honor. I think I'm going to the fact that what I'm arguing is that Mr. Harmon's reasonableness in believing Wayne's authorization to carry out decisions.
And when they acted on those recommendations previously, there was a vote?
But it was a pro forma type of situation where they never...
That would be recorded in the minutes?
I don't know if there's anything on the record, essentially, on... I don't know if there's anything on the record on that. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you both. The court will take this matter under advisement. We'll also take a brief recess.
Please rise.